What's up, Oos? Main Event Jey Uso here from the WWE. When it's just me between matches, it's day one-ish. And that means it's Chumba time. With hundreds of casino-style games and new titles arriving weekly, there's always something fresh to try at Chumba Casino. The daily boosts make it even more fun. And have me, about to get them, all during my downtime. Ready for a fun way to chill out and enjoy a few minutes for yourself? Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
And again, Wednesday morning to you, and welcome into Darren, Dottick, and Chase here on ESPN 102.5. The game looks like another beautiful sunny day here in Middle Tennessee. Darren McFarland, that's me down here in Rutherford County in Smyrna. Willie Dottick is over in East Nashville, and Chase McCabe is in parts unknown, while Elijah Campbell is back at the Wholesale Inc. Game Studios, powered by RumbleOn.com. As he told me before we got on the air, he is sporting his Pete Rose jersey today, and I said, oh, so you're going to cheat the show for 4 hours today? He said, no, actually, I'm going to gamble on the show for 4 hours today. I was like, all right, good comeback, good comeback, good job.
We got some prop bets on the show today that I need you guys to hit.
Ooh, okay, do tell. Let's hear some props.
But he's not betting on the show. Remember, you're not supposed to bet on the show. You cannot bet on the show, right?
That would put you on the permanently ineligible list for the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, you're just betting on other shows.
I'm betting on my show, not against my show. That's the difference. I'm betting on us to succeed.
I mean, in Reds tradition, if you just bet on the Reds, that's your case. Yes. If that case didn't work very well for Pete Rose, though.
No.
It'll work better for me, I'm sure.
Let's just say I never believed that story.
I would agree. Although, for a long time, he had a lot of loyalists, let's be honest, that wanted to buy what he was selling for years. Until, remember, he put the book out, and they're like, yeah, I did it.
Now, Willie, I'm a baseball fan. I'm just telling you, I believe Pete. I believe him. How many calls did we get of that? Willie.
Oh, man.
I'm just telling you, I believe Pete. I believe Charlie Hustle. I believe him. You guys need to lay off him.
Oh, yeah.
I believe him.
And they would make the case, what about all the people that had drug problems? And they would equate that
right
to betting on the game. They're like, no, guys.
It says
right here in the clubhouse.
Stay
when you walk into the clubhouse, yes. Don't talk about the drugs is a different thing. It's not good. Drugs aren't good. But when you walk into the clubhouse, it says you cannot gamble on the game. You cannot gamble on baseball. If you do, you're out. It was pretty easy, pretty simple.
You're out more ways than one.
Yeah.
Pretty clear. Yeah. Pretty clear. Speaking of baseball, tough night. Tough night for
the Tribe.
The Tribe.
Man.
Gerrit Cole
dominated them. We were talking up Shane Bieber, and you know, you made the joke of Justin Bieber.
I think
Bieber.
He was Justin last night. I think he was Justin.
I think Justin – did Justin steal his uniform or something?
That was not Shane. That was definitely Justin Bieber. That was not Shane.
It shows you how – especially at a 2 out of 3, it'd be one thing to have that happen in a 3 out of 5 or a 4 out of 7 where you might get another shot, but that's it for him in this series. His teammates are going to have to pick him up. But the best pitcher, if you look at his stats, they were absolutely lights out, and he just wasn't anything close to that last night. 7 earned runs. He probably had 10 starts where he didn't give up a combined 7 runs.
I'd say that's probably pretty fair.
He got bombed.
He got bombed.
He got bombed.
Not good. The Twins, so much for, they're going to get rid of those playoff ghosts. Well, I don't know. Not sure if they're going to or not. Remember, these are 2 out of 3. So Indians, Twins, they got to win the next 2 or bye-bye.
We talked about, remember when the Predators came back in the 2014 tournament, how important the first game was going to be.
Mm-hmm.
And we had all that debate on, maybe this year you can come back, there's no travel, all that stuff. And it did turn out. It's tough to come back. I made the proclamation somebody's going to come back from 2-0. Well, think about how important the first game is in a 2 out of 3.
Yep. Yeah, those
were
best
of 5. You only have to win 2. You only have to win 2. You don't have to win 3, but you just have nothing. You just feel like, man, if one pitcher goes out there and has a Bieber – right, you just don't have your stuff, and you give up 3 runs quick. You give up a walk, a hit, and a home run. Boom. It's just the way baseball is played right now. That's what the game is. It's not like these rallies come up like they used to, maybe. it just happens like lightning, right? A guy strikes out four, he looks great, and then boom, a couple of bombs, and your team's behind. That's what happened to the A's. Early, a couple of long balls, and then their pitcher's pitching great. They get the first game.
Yep. So what do you guys think of the four teams that lost yesterday in the American League? Who has the best shot of taking the next two and advancing?
Ooh.
Who has the best shot between the Twins, the A's, the Blue Jays, and the Indians?
I would probably say the Twins and the A's.
Oh, you think two teams?
Yeah. I think those are my two votes, yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
I think I would take the A's, but the A's are second only to the Twins in the we make the postseason, but then nothing good happens.
We always poop the bed. Yeah.
And those guys, not all those guys were with those, but it seems like there is some mental baggage there, you know, because everybody talks about it. You have to overcome that as well as play some good baseball. So I don't know. I don't think the Blue Jays are the better team. You know, the Rays have just gobs and gobs of nasty pitchers. I like their chances of winning one more. You know, the Yankees, the way they swung the bat, golly.
I'm not sure anybody pulls it off.
Yeah.
Quite honestly.
Wasn't it interesting, too, like the Astros? Nobody wants to see the Astros win,
no.
Except for, obviously, Astros fans. But you're like, come on, Twins? They had the lead. They had chances and just never put them away. And then, boom.
You know what? If you get four hits, you probably don't deserve to win.
Gotta,
four hits in a playoff game,
you
probably don't deserve to win. And by the way, you're known for hitting.
Yeah. No, notice, too, just how nasty some of these relief pitchers are that you don't know who they are, right? In a lot of cases, you know, they're not good enough to or important enough to be on even fantasy teams. And a lot of people probably didn't even play fantasy baseball that normally do this year. But just watch how nasty some of their stuff is. Like for one inning, just coming in there throwing 95, 96. They're coming in the fifth inning or the sixth inning. You're like, I've never heard of this guy. And look at these nasty pitches he's throwing up there.
Yep.
How would anybody hit these?
Eight games today. So a full slate of Major League Baseball. It is going to be a very, very active day for MLB playoffs. So if you're looking to watch some baseball, today is your day. Guys, we have learned who the players are. We talked extensively yesterday, basically the entire show, on what was going on with the Titans. We've learned that Daquan Jones, Bo Brinkley, and Tommy Hudson, who was on the practice squad, have been put on the COVID-19 list of the Titans. Dan Graziano also, was it Graziano who reported today that there's been another positive
test? I saw Pelissero put that out there. I saw Graziano had put that out there, and I'm reading what Diana Russini just put out 2 minutes ago that you guys probably want me to read.
Yeah, go ahead.
Sunday's game between the Steelers and the Titans is being postponed per multiple sources. They are considering all options to reschedule Monday night as one of them. This will all be based on test results.
I'm not terribly surprised by that. I think they're still going to play this week. I don't think they're going to move this around. I think it's going to be a Monday and, dare I say, maybe even Tuesday night game. I think there's a real shot at that.
I tend to agree on that. I think they are trying their hardest to get this in this week and not have to move stuff around, because as we discussed yesterday, it wouldn't be just simply making this a bye week for both teams. You have to move some other teams will be affected. You have to move a lot of things around to try and reschedule this for another week. So I'm with you. Tuesday's obviously the latest that they could do it this week, but I think they're going to try.
It's weird that it came from Diana Russini. That is so strange that that report came from her.
You know, I have to say, when she first started, the first thing I can remember was when she sort of incorrectly speculated that Ryan Tannehill would be the opening day starter, which was wrong, but she was on the right track of, hey, they like Tannehill, and eventually, like, if she
the leash is
played,
short. Yeah.
Right. If
she'd and she should have framed it that way.
If she'd have framed it that way, she would have really looked good in retrospect, but we were all like, where is she coming from? How is she getting this? But she clearly has some good sources within that building somewhere.
Yep. Well, you don't even have to have sources. You just have to have a source in that building in between the walls. And she clearly has one. because she's getting fed a lot of info from inside those walls. But
well,
she's the one who put it out there, and although she is saying per multiple sources, so in this case, you're right, Willie, it is plural, multiple sources, but it looks like it's not going to happen on Sunday. But the question now becomes, all right, how much longer do they go before? I mean, we have to have resolution at some, you know, very soon, right? Is it 20? This time tomorrow, do we know when this game is happening?
I think there's probably another round of tests. Like I heard Graziano on Get Up today say he was texting with a Titans player who said he has tested negative three times today. And that was yesterday, right? So they're doing so many tests right now. There's a what they call the point of care test where they get the quick result, but then maybe a more accurate result is one that comes back the next day. So you do these combination of things, and there's no telling how many tests they're doing there. But what I think I heard Graziano say was if it's contained to just the one additional test or one additional positive that they've added today, that gives you the green light to maybe proceed this week. Now, you have to do it without – and who knows? Is it one more player? Is it another personnel? That I don't think that's been made clear, is it? That it's another player? Or could it be another coach or staff member?
I read that it was another player.
Another player?
I think I saw
I read player. Or okay. Pelissero on NFL Network said player.
Okay, so four players. We know who three of them are, we think. Add one, and then if you're sure that it has not spread to anybody else by Saturday, then I think you could play. And the more I thought about it, yesterday was a day of questions, right? We just asked a lot of questions. We knew we didn't have the answer. It was so fluid. Some of the answers presented themselves as we looked at our Twitter scroll with people reporting things. But we did kick around the idea of Monday. The more I thought about it and slept on it, moving the bye weeks around and doing that, to me, that should be a last resort, because the minute you do that and then somebody else around the league has a similar situation, you're going to run out of ways to move the pieces around. So if there's any way to get it in reasonably this week, I think that's the way to go. The question is how much time is reasonable so that the Titans can prepare for the game and have a shot.
I think 24 more hours, in my opinion. I think we would have to know
Monday,
something.
Monday and not Tuesday?
Yeah. Yeah. Tomorrow, this when we're on the air tomorrow, to me, there's got to be the next step. The next step of whatever the next step is. There has to be new news.
Yeah, I think you have to get closer to a definitive answer of what the plan is going to be, because you have to. I mean, there's so many moving parts with it.
Now, Darren, did you say, I think there is maybe some, we might get some information around 10:30 today?
Well, this is what we're going to do. We're going to have John Roberts when we come back. There is NASCAR news concerning our city that we're going to talk about. Chris Mortensen is going to be at 11 o'clock. We're flopping Tim Hasselbeck because he's got to do some ESPN stuff during his time slot with us. So we're moving him to the 1 o'clock hour. And then our final check-in of this season with Chris Mason, we're going to flop him, move him to noon. So see Mace at noon, Hasselbeck at 1. But at 10:35 today, Mike Vrabel will speak, and we will carry that live today at 10:35. So we'll come back with John Roberts from SiriusXM NASCAR. There's more news about NASCAR and our city. We'll talk about that. We'll hear from the head coach, Mike Vrabel, at 10:35, Chris Mortensen at 11 o'clock. Things on tap here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Looks like big NASCAR news coming this week. More big NASCAR news. And with that being said, back here on Darren Donick, Chase, John Roberts, who lives here locally. You can hear him on SiriusXM NASCAR channel. And it looks like, John, we've got a little bit more clarification on that June race in 2021 out in Gladeville. Dare I say, do we think we have a date now, an exact weekend?
Well, you know, I don't know why they decided to roll it out the way they did today, with little bits at a time. But one thing about You know, just a little backup, guys, a little background on this to where we got to where we are today. You know, about 5 years, well, actually 5 years ago, all the track promoters had told NASCAR that they wanted a longer deal. NASCAR for years just did 1 year deal. And, with every racetrack every year. And so they said, hey, we can't really plan much unless we know a little bit more in advance when we're going to have a race. So NASCAR gave everybody a 5 year contract, which ends at the end of this year in terms of when you're going to have a race. Now, no one ever was guaranteed a particular date. You're just guaranteed a race. We said, well, each year we move the dates all around on you. And that was about the biggest bang you ever got in a schedule change. So that's why they were eyeballing this. They wanted to have it out in April. And, of course, we all know what happened in April and May this year. So that all put it on hold. And, again, it was delayed a little bit more. This final announcement was delayed a little bit more from what we hear because they started talking about the dirt race at Bristol.
So what do you anticipate? What can we talk about? Because there's going to be a huge shakeup in this schedule. And for some racetracks, you know, and I feel bad for them, and I can speak on it, and the three of us can, because, you know, we know what that feeling is like, because we're talking about Gladeville that's been sitting dormant for a good while when there used to be races out there. And but there's going to be some tracks that are getting ready to lose everything. What can you tell us about kind of the revamped 2021 schedule?
Well, the certain things we know, Chicago and Kentucky are no longer as of right now.
How much does that surprise you, John?
Kentucky does, Chicago doesn't.
Okay.
Chicago's been waning in popularity for years. The idea was, and this is what Brian France was all about when he started building new racetracks at ISC, he wanted NASCAR racing near the biggest media markets. So they tried some in New York and just didn't. So they said, okay, well, let's call Pocono our New York track because it's about an hour drive away from New York City, and that doesn't really work. But when you go to Chicago, being the third largest media market in the country, Brian France really wanted a race there. And so when they went there at first, it had the novelty factor. But when people got there, you figured out Joliet was about, you know, a million miles away from the actual Chicago.
Uh-oh.
Did we lose him? He gets zapped. Hold on, John. John, you went away. Hold on 1 second. Well, you went away. Yep. Okay, so you said you found out Joliet was way, way, way out, so then we lost you.
Yeah. Okay. And so therefore, you know, you really racing in the third biggest media market in the country. It wasn't really making sense. And so that one doesn't surprise me. And also, again, Kentucky came out with a bang. Everybody really wanted to go there to see it at first. But, man, it has just been waning in popularity. So those don't quite surprise me. I'm pleasantly surprised with the number we hear this morning of five road course races during the season, which then puts us at Sonoma, the Glen, Circuit of the Americas, and the Roval, and let's see, I'm missing one.
Indy, right? Indy's going to be shaking
Thank you. Thank you. Indy. So five road courses, and that was another goal of the whole schedule change was more short tracks and more road courses. So what we get in stone is what the additional road courses are going to be. But you know, have two open, well, shoot, four, three. Three open dates, the two Kentuckys and one at Chicago, then now you have those to work with.
So Chicago just goes away. Kentucky Speedway, which we've been to several times in between Cincinnati and Louisville, that's I guess the question I've got is what happens? Is it what happened here? They just sit there and I guess they go out and do testing and just what happens
in
those tracks?
There's a number of different things you can do with a racetrack like that. But the thing is you can't the folks at Charlotte were really instrumental in doing this in the first place. You know, they had three events. They had three cup events. They had the 600, 500, and the All-Star event. Yet they went crazy with auto fairs, testing, sports car races, club car events. Then they have the Christmas tree lighting, the Christmas lights in December are absolutely amazing there. I don't think you can staff and run and maintain a NASCAR-sized facility like Chicago. So that's what I believe is going to happen. Like when you look at, I mean, people talk so much about North Wilkesboro. When North Wilkesboro lost its race, it sits there dormant, and you start seeing grass grow up in the cracks of the asphalt, and it's pretty. It's a sad sight because these are huge venues. But yeah, man, they go away, and it's shocking to see.
So what do we is the Nashville date official, or is it just still a rumor that third weekend in June?
That is most likely, as far as I know, that's all I've heard, that is going to be it. They just haven't announced it yet. So it'll officially be by the end of the day. And again, I'm a little bit confused as to why they decided to do things this way today.
Yeah.
I thought normally, you just publish your schedule and put it out. And I think there might still be some negotiations going on here or there, but the schedule will be out. It will be finalized eventually. But what you're hearing right now most likely will stick. And one of the big hang-ups was when someone said, hey, let's run a dirt race at Bristol, which, guys, I'm going to tell you right now, I'm always open to a new suggestion. I'm always open to something different. But let's remember the Titanic was just different isn't good. And to take away a Bristol race to put a 3,400-pound stock car on a dirt track that you create is not going to go well. I do not think that's going to be a good show. They're not designed for dirt. You see ARCA run on dirt. It's not a good show. And it also takes away from the Eldora Truck Series race on dirt because that one works. And I just really don't think that is a good idea for Bristol to try to run a dirt race.
John Roberts is with us from SiriusXM NASCAR. And just to follow up on that, I agree. Like, I hear the idea and I go, okay. I'm intrigued, but then I think about it because you know how difficult it is to run on dirt. Some of these guys have a dirt background, some don't. You're turning a concrete track into a dirt track. I've just never understood why they don't make both Bristol races night. I know that they love, the August or September race being at night and fixating on that, but make them both at night, Saturday night, and you're good. I think you get good crowds. I just don't know about something gimmicky like this.
I think it's too gimmicky, and I think what I understand people trying to make things unique. It's like when Charlotte came out with the Roval idea, and it really was a big hit. People didn't like the idea at first. When the fans went there, they loved it. The racing was great. The competitors liked it. So now everybody was all of a sudden going, okay, man, let's make a Roval at Indy. Let's make a Roval at Daytona. Let's everybody. And the point being is, if everybody had a Roval, it wouldn't be unique. It wouldn't be special. The dirt race at Eldora for the trucks is special. It's unique. And, Indy is in and of itself special and unique. And then the Daytona road course is iconic and special. So if you have something where you're asking a fan to come to a venue twice in 1 year and spend upwards of, $300 a ticket sometimes, like at a place like Bristol, $90 a ticket at some of your cheapest events, and you're asking somebody to do that with their family twice a year, you're brilliant to make it different. The two trips to the racetrack, if you have 2 dates, to make it different. But let's not get really too crazy about that, which I think is what we're doing here with the Bristol Dirt Race.
What do you think about, and I know Indy has announced this, that the Brickyard is going to be on the road course, but it's going to be a joint weekend with IndyCar, which is something that they did last year. It was the Xfinity Series that ran on the road course. The Cup guys ran on the oval. But I hope there's more of these down the line. I think it's good for both series to have IndyCar have Cup on the same weekend. It's going to be cool at the most historic track.
Well, it's the bang for your buck for your fans. If the fans are starting to go away from something, give them a reason to come back. And I just like those weekends that were packed with the trucks, the Xfinity, and the Cup, and making a ticket package available. So now, if you put two different disciplines of racing at a venue, I think, again, now you're attracting much more of a fan base, getting, the IndyCar people are watching NASCAR, NASCAR people watching Indy. And that is a good thing. And also, quite frankly, guys, the Brickyard is the Indy racetrack was designed for those open wheel cars. They put on a great show there. The pageantry of the Brickyard for NASCAR is always fantastic. It's a big race. But let's face it, we see a lot of single file racing at Indy on just the oval track. And sometimes we'll see a guy win Well, more often than not, you see a driver win Indy by 5-6 car lengths minimum. And so to spruce that event up, I think is a really good idea there. I'd say that one is a hit right away, and some of the other announcements that are coming are really good. But then again, we have to wait and see about a couple of them as to what's going to transpire.
Hey, final 20, 30 seconds, Sean. We haven't heard – we know August, I think, is what's been thrown out. Do we have any idea the exact weekend next August for the street race, the Grand Prix?
I've heard first weekend in August, and again, they'll have to work that out too. When the full IndyCar schedule comes out, they'll nail down dates. But all these sanctioning bodies, they're always pretty. They'll always tell you right away you have a race, and then it's a little while later that you find out your exact date.
When, right?
So,
okay.
Yeah. So this is what we'll find out about that. But what this does now, a lot of team general managers and owners were saying, okay, at least we know now, we may not know the exact weekend, but at least we have this ammunition now. We know we're going to these certain markets. I can start going out and getting on to sponsors and trying to get them because I'll be racing in a specific market, and I know it.
Well done, as always, John. Thank you so much. Continue to be safe.
Jeff.
We'll talk to you down the road.
Okay, talk to you soon. Thank you.
All right, John Roberts, SiriusXM NASCAR channel. Looks like it'll be the third weekend in June out in Gladeville in 2021.
Which is Father's Day.
Which is Father's Day, and it looks like the first weekend in August for the street race, the Music City Grand Prix, which is going to be so cool next year for those two events. We'll come back. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel will speak about everything we've been talking about in the last 48 hours. We'll hear from him next on ESPN 102.5, The Game. Back around Darren Donica and Chase on this Wednesday morning. Chris Mortensen coming up at 11. We've moved Tim Hasselbeck. He's got ESPN duties during his time slot with us to 1 o'clock today, and we're going to hear from Titans head coach Mike Vrabel here in just minutes. The NFL has released a statement on the Steelers-Titans game officially, and they have said the Steelers-Titans game, originally scheduled for Sunday at 1 p.m. Eastern, of course, noon our time, will be scheduled to allow additional time for further daily COVID-19 testing and to ensure the health and safety of players, coaches, and game day personnel. Details on the new game date and time on either Monday or Tuesday will be announced as soon as possible. And that is a big, huge hint right there from the league, guys. The fact that they're willing to say, hey, it's going to get played this week, and it's going to be on either Monday or Tuesday. They didn't have to do that.
Right. Yeah. I guess they know enough, and maybe obviously we'll get some more detail from Mike Vrabel here, I think. But they must feel fairly confident that it's contained enough that you're not going to have another wave of positive tests that would really put your roster in jeopardy. So that's good news. Now it's just a matter of competitive fairness, right? What's the right thing to do? How much time do you need to prepare? And what's reasonable?
So I just looked this up too. Something to note: Tuesday, Nashville SC is scheduled to play in Nissan Stadium. 7:30 kick.
Mm. Oh boy!
Okay. So that is
renters. So the landlord will get first priority. I'm sure that's in the contract. So
yeah, but I mean that's have to move. You know you're that, sure. There's a lot that has to go into that.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
That is part of the equation.
Interesting. Very interesting. But that really jumped out at me. They're willing to say here on Wednesday morning the new game date will be on either Monday or Tuesday. I'm pleasantly surprised, but I'm surprised that they were willing just to go on and throw the gauntlet down and say, hey, it's going to be Monday or Tuesday.
But that's okay. I take that as a good sign, though.
I think it's a good sign, too, and it's the best possible outcome because then you start, as we say, moving pieces around, and it could get very complicated if you have more of these down the road, which you think you're probably going to. Now, real quick, guys, before Vrabel starts, if you're the Titans, what's better for you? Monday or Tuesday, because there are ramifications of playing Tuesday. You got to turn around and play the next Sunday. Would you rather try to get it in Monday?
All right, let's pause. Let's head over to St. Thomas Sports Park. Let's hear from the head coach, Mike Vrabel.
Coach, are you there?
I am, buddy. I don't think I'm going to be able to hook us up with a
background
today. So
all good.
Make sure you go out there and check out Xfinity.
Nice. So, Coach, I think you wanted to start us off before we started taking some questions.
Teresa, just give me a second here. I just wanted to – it's the first time that I've been able to talk to you since kind of the news and everything that has come out. Want to just kind of fill you in really on the health and the well-being of those individuals that have tested with COVID. Some of them are indeed experiencing flu-like symptoms. Nothing, I think, out of the ordinary. We anticipate that they will feel better shortly. Nothing of overly concern. But again, my concern is always with the safety and the health of our players, their families, our staff, and their families. And then also the individuals that have it tested positive. I think that their mental state is strong. They're excited for a challenge. This is a resilient group. We had a really good meeting this morning, a great meeting. Players will still be in meetings here for a few minutes. We'll have a break. Everybody was tested this morning prior to 8 o'clock. Everybody that was supposed to be in treatment, they were indeed in treatment at the time that they were supposed to be, starting at 6 a.m. We staggered out the treatment. Those players were able to be in our building with a reduced number of training staff. All players had masks and face shields on. I appreciate all those guys being patient with the time. We can only handle three or four players at a time in the training room today, just to follow the protocol. Players will be off for a few hours, and we'll get back into meetings, Zoom meetings this afternoon. But I just wanted to kind of update you on where we were. You know, I know there's going to be a lot of questions about the game and about who's to blame and where it started. Nobody's to blame. You know, we're in a pandemic. Unfortunately, things happen. John and I feel comfortable that since receiving the protocols in August, we followed those by the letter, and that we were conscious of everything that we did. This is a very unfortunate situation, but one that we're confident that we will be able to handle safely with the football team and the players' best interest in mind. So with that, I thank you guys, and I'd like to hear from Teresa.
Mike, the NFL has announced that the game will be played either Monday or Tuesday, with you all not being able to at least get into your facility until Saturday at the earliest. How much does that extra time help you prepare to play this game?
Well, I would say that reports of being in on Saturday may not be entirely true. That's where it looks like it is today. That could all change. Could be earlier than that, and then could potentially be later than that, Teresa. So I wouldn't just assume that it's Saturday. We are preparing to play the football game now as earliest as Monday. Again, I think the focus and the understanding of this football team is now going to be shifted towards preparing to play on Monday. I'm confident that the league will allow us time to practice, to get some practice in, to get on the field, and then move forward with the game.
Jim?
Mike, I know a lot of challenges with this. I guess among them, you've got several players, whether it's Taylor, AJ, you talk about Adoree, players who are maybe in the evaluation process as far as when they could return. How much difficult does this make it not being able to see those guys or work with them during the week like you normally could?
Well, they'll get treatment. You know, they'll be in treatment three times today. Todd Torricelli and his staff. Again, it'll be a limited number of trainers that'll be in there today, but very confident that those people will work diligently to get our players healthy. And then when it's time to evaluate them on the field, when we are able to practice, then we can take a look at them and see where they're at. But But right now, all they can do is treat when we ask them to treat and be in meetings when we ask them to be in meetings.
And I guess just for clarification, you just answered, I think, but players who are dealing with injuries are allowed to be there with certain medical people?
They are. After John and I talked to Dr. Sills and to the league, you know, they thought that it was safe in the manner in which we were going to do it to stagger that process to limit the number of trainers and people that were in there, that the players would have masks and the trainers would have masks and face shields. So again, that's important. You know, I mean, the players need to get treatment and we just had to find a safe way to be able to do that in the short term.
Guys, I've got a lot of people with questions. So no follows, just one per outlet. And it, hopefully we have time for some follows, but I've got a tight time frame here. Eric.
Hey, Mike, I'm just curious if you have any clarity on how it's spread, you know, not necessarily looking to point any fingers or anything, but just how it's spread and what you guys can do in the future to prevent, you know, whatever happening from happening again.
No, you know, we've evaluated what we've done in the protocols and how we've handled the meetings, continue to have social distancing in those meetings. You know, and I'm not going to begin to, you know, try to understand or track down how a virus would spread. We'll have to continue to exercise extreme caution, when we go back in. And there is no one is to blame. You know, I mean, I've heard crazy reports that, you know, somebody's to blame or this person or that person. You know, that this is something that we're not interested in trying to blame anybody. We want to make sure that we're doing everything we can to make the players safe and, you know, that this doesn't happen again.
John.
Yeah, Mike, I guess as I try to read the rules on coming back from COVID, if a player is asymptomatic, he could return as soon as 5 days. I guess, as far as I understand, is that your understanding as well? And is that a possibility?
Yeah, and not necessarily, John. I think there's a lot of, you know, I know that there's a ramp up period. There's an acclimation period that has to happen as we return back, as players return back, that we're watching EKGs and evaluation of. You know, their anaerobic capacity and what they can handle as they return from this. But, you know, once we get a few days out from some of these, you know, I'll be able to talk to John and Todd and Dr. Williams and Dr. Sills about how we proceed.
Teron?
Yeah, as things stand right now, from a preparation standpoint, how do you attack this week to get ready to play whenever you do?
No different than what we would, Teron. I met with the team, asked them questions, tried to engage with them, showed them film of Pittsburgh, went through what I think are the keys to this game. Craig met with them as a special teams unit. Arthur and Shane and myself met with the units. And then they'll be with their position coaches for a few minutes. And then, you know, the players will have a break. Some will get treatment. Some will hopefully work out. Some will eat lunch. Some will watch soap operas. I don't know, you know, but we have to hold each other accountable, I think, to do some sort of physical activity and be ready to go. You know, no one instructed them to go practice or to do anything of that nature. We're confident that when we are allowed back in the building, that the league will give us ample time to practice. We've worked on short weeks before. We've played 3 games in 13 days. I'm sure the other team that we've played before has had a few extra days of practice. And so it'll be important that the time that we do get to spend practicing, we take advantage of it.
Thank you. Paul? Terry?
Mike, Bo is one of the ones that's on the reserve list. Obviously, he's the only long snapper on the roster. How much of a concern is that, and what kind of options do you have to replace him?
Well, we'll find some options here quickly. That's what John and his staff is working on. He's trying to find a few guys to come in, and again, they'll have to go through the protocol of the testing and getting them here and working them out, and then going with one of those guys for the game. But you know, it'll be a new long snapper, and that's something that we'll have to deal with.
Paul.
Outside of Shane, Mike, are there coaches involved in the other five that could put you in a jam? Are you one of the other five?
Personally, no, I am not one of the other five. But out of just following the protocol, you know, we are required to release the names of the players for COVID-19. But as of that, I'm just going to stay within the protocol and limit the names that we have to release at this point in time to just the players.
Joe?
Mike, you mentioned that you guys could be back in earlier than Saturday. How much earlier is possible? And does that mean the incubation period, you know, like started earlier than assumed yesterday?
No, what I said, Joe, was that we could be in earlier or we could be in later, or we could be in on Saturday. I don't think that's a hard, fast deadline that it's going to be Saturday at 8 o'clock or 6 o'clock in the morning. So, you know, with that, we'll just wait and see what the league has to say and the direction that they want us to go in.
Well, real quick follow, though, that is related to the incubation period, though, correct?
The incubation period. I mean, we've seen that it's been as late as 10 days. I mean, we've had guys test for a while and test positive. So, I don't want to misspeak about what the league's waiting for or what they're looking at to allow us back into the building. I'm just going to wait to hear from them and say, hey, you can go back to work.
Steve Lehman.
Robbie, I'm good. Somebody got me already.
Kayla?
Yeah, Coach, you spoke of the challenge and the resiliency of this group. Just talk about maybe what they have said to you and what the conversations have been like when it comes to preparing for something like this with so many unknowns.
They said, Coach, we'll play whenever they want us to play, and under any circumstances, we'll prepare the best that we can, and we'll play. There's been no pushback. I asked this morning to just check in mentally to see where they were. Guys were understanding of the situation. Guys weren't looking to point fingers or blame anybody. They were looking for ways to make us better and help us out during this situation.
Aditi?
Coach Vrabel, was there, even though you're saying that your team is mentally strong about this, were you at all consulted by the league on what you think the best of course of action is? And if you had your druthers, would you rather just get past this and move this game further down the line? Or is it preferable to try to get it over with as soon as you can?
No, I guess I would have liked to heard from the league about how those individuals were feeling. Again, there's a personal side to this that sometimes we look past, and we want to make sure when we're going to play the games and that, you know, protocol are being followed. But I think that there's a personal side to this about those individuals that did indeed test positive. You know, John and I had a plan before we heard from the league No one was in our building except for a few people on Monday morning. And that was decided by John and I at 4:30 in the morning. And then if we were going to proceed in practice, that the players weren't going to meet on Wednesday, they were just going to show up and practice and go back home. So we were conscious of that before the league made the decision. They made their decision, and we're proceeding to play not on Sunday, potentially Monday or Tuesday. We all got a taste of this in the off season with the meetings. Our coaches are into it. Our players looked engaged this morning. You know, they answered questions when I asked them. They answered questions when Craig, Arthur, or Shane asked them. And that's all we can ask at this point.
Robbie, if you'll let me, Coach Vrabel, you started by saying you would have liked to have heard from the league on the personal side of this, and that maybe we're not focusing on the personal side enough. Do you feel that there has not been enough concern about the people that are positive and that we're all too focused on the game and when the game will be played?
No, I've already addressed that. You asked me what I'd like to hear, and I mentioned that. And so
Okay. Now
we're on to making sure that those individuals are taken care of health-wise, with our training staff and our doctors, and then taking care of the players that are injured and taking care of the players mentally to focus on moving ahead here with this week.
Luke?
Mike, you've talked a lot after some of the close games about the mental strength of your team, and you've already mentioned it today. Does this adversity, I guess, give you a test to see maybe how true all of that is, and how do you think the mental strength of your team is going to be able to hold up, not having to practice and having to roll with the punches?
Well, again, I think we'll be able to practice, Luke. We've had weeks where we've had to walk through because of injuries. We're not going to use that in any type sort of excuse going in. We'll be ready. We'll be focused. But I don't know what to tell you. We're going to just proceed with how we have to do things. And this is the way we have to function and operate. And so that's where we're at.
Chris Harris.
Hey, Mike, can you give us a sense of just what the health and safety protocols will be like over the next couple of days? Like, I assume everyone going in for testing every single day just to make sure how will that work?
Yep. Everybody's still being tested, just like we were. Drive into the parking lot, fill out the questionnaire on your phone, go in, take the test, see those great people every day that are in there, that are doing their best to get an accurate test and to get that sent off to the lab. We appreciate those people. They're part of our team now. It's the same group every morning. They're there working at 4 o'clock in the morning. And so we're appreciative of the work that they do and their happiness and joy when we win. And it's been cool to see them become part of our team and excited when we come back in after games. They were there testing us at 5 in the morning when we got back from Denver. And those will be the protocols. And again, we'll have to be very conscious of our physical and social distancing in the building, wearing the PPE, continuing to wear our PPE, continuing with how we serve meals and spread everybody out and making sure that we are using those meeting rooms where there's social and physical distancing, which we've done since August.
Thanks, Coach. We've got Ryan Tannehill in the waiting room. I'll bring him in.
Okay.
All right, there you go. Titans head coach Mike Vrabel. First time he's spoken to the media since all this went down. This is what dominated our show yesterday for 4 hours. This was the NFL story yesterday. This was the sports story. It continues to be the sports story as the NFL has released the statement saying that this game will not be played on Sunday at Nissan Stadium, that it's more than likely going to be either Monday or Tuesday. We wait word on that. It was interesting pretty early on in the presser where Mike Vrabel, and I said this yesterday on the show, like, don't assume that Saturday is the day that they can get back in. And he basically Well, he basically, he said it. Well, we're, you know, Saturday is right now, but that could change.
He's clearly hoping that they can get on the practice field earlier, and that might determine whether the game is played on Monday or Tuesday, right? He seems, you tell me if this is how you read the way he was saying things, that he's hoping, and he doesn't know, but I think he's hoping and feels like there's at least a good chance that they could get back in practice a little bit earlier than Saturday and then play the game on Monday. I think that's best case scenario, right? Because then if you get into Tuesday, that really messes with your routine the following week,
yep,
and you're playing a little catch up. Is that fair to say that that's what they would like to have happen? But if they get in there on Saturday, that's a lot to try to jam in there to prepare for Monday's game. But I did think he shed some light on what they are trying to do to prepare with the Zoom meetings. You can do everything except for get on the field and practice, but obviously that's a big thing. And also being able to have your injured players get the treatment they need in the facility was a big, big piece of information there.
Yeah.
That's important.
No, absolutely. I thought there were some things in that he put out that answered some questions. I wish we could find out the other player. I'm sure we will once they go through transactions. But he also shed some light. I didn't realize this, that the protocols are they have to tell
with
you
players,
the player,
but not staff.
But not the
yep.
coaches yep. or staff or whatever. So
yeah.
That was a little – and that's what we're learning as we go through this of, you know, there may be some protocols, obviously news that they know, things that we don't, and you just kind of have to find out as you go. So I thought that was interesting that he doesn't have to tell the staff. I am glad that – he said it wasn't him, and he admitted that. But you know, just a lot of information to unpack with that.
John Robinson's wife putting out on social media, thank you to everyone who has reached out and checked on us. All is good for the Robinsons, as John has tested negative twice. To play it safe, he has quarantined himself away from us and is wearing his mask at home. Just keep praying for our team. And for all who is positive. So that's
personal side
from,
of it. Personal yeah, side of it for everybody involved.
That's coming from Jamie Robinson, John Robinson's wife. We'll come back. Chris Mortensen to kick off the second hour of Darren, Donick, and Chase next.
Looking for excitement? Chumba Casino is here. Play anytime, play anywhere. Play on the train, play at the store, play at home, play when you're bored. Play today for your chance to win and get daily bonuses when you log in. So what are you waiting for? Don't delay. Chumba Casino is free to play.
Experience social gameplay like never before. Go to Chumba Casino right now to play hundreds of games, including online slots, bingo, Slingo, and more. Live the Chumba life at ChumbaCasino.com.
Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.